It's Boss Barrel Radio, episode 107. I'm Griffin Hoffman, and it's been a while. Again, it always feels like it's been a while. So, with me this week is...
Ryan Fielder.
Matt Lake.
Yeah!
We are here to rock your world.
How's it going?
Oh, it's amazing.
Sweet.
Yeah? Tired?
I'm always tired.
Are you doing amazing? Amazingly tired?
I don't think you can be amazingly tired.
Oh, it's you can.
If you're tired, it's crappy all the time.
Guys,
no one likes being tired.
We're living in a post April 1st world right now. How do you feel about that?
You joking right now?
We exist after Liar's Day.
I think April Fool's Day is when everyone who's not funny comes out of the woodwork and tries to make a joke and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then they recede back to wherever they came from.
I didn't make a single joke yesterday or have a joke played on me. Yeah.
Hey, Mom, I'm gay. Oh, it was April Fool's. Like, no. Sorry.
I fucking knew it. Oh, sorry. I knew it.
Hey, watch that mouth, Ryan. Jeez.
Yeah.
I think April 1st was pretty depressing this year in terms of the video game scene jokes.
Well, I didn't read the Game Enforcer.
I didn't read Game Enforcer either. I don't know if it's out yet. But
yeah, I haven't seen it.
The whole... Everything that was done this year is pretty lame, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, there was someone who got fooled. There was a story that Adam Boyes, who used to work for Capcom and started his own consulting company and now is at PlayStation, there was a press release or whatever saying that he was the new CEO of EA.
Bah!
And there was a website that actually reported that and thought it was true.
Really?
And they had to update it and say, oh, no, that was an April Fool's joke, so...
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That was the only person who was fooled that I found.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Nobody? None of you got fooled?
No. I mean, no.
Did anyone try to fool you?
Yeah. Usually Blizzard has a pretty awesome April Fool's thing.
Yeah.
This year they had nothing. Yeah. My personal favorite of this year was, I think, the Google Sniffit I enjoyed.
Google Sniffit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a game?
No, just instead of a Google search, like you can Google sniff things and it'll tell you, like, if you present your computer with a smell, it'll tell you what that smell is.
Oh.
It's like, oh, this is wet dog. And it gives you a description of what the odor profile is. Obviously it doesn't work, but
that's pretty good technology, I would say.
If you dig deep into it, they have like help forums and all these just different like suggestions on how to refigure your system. It was pretty good.
I can work for me because, you know, I have a hard time smelling all the time. My sense of smell is just gone. So if I could have one of those portable around, it might come in handy.
Next iPhone supporting Google Sniffit.
Exactly. So, some video games happened.
As always is the case, it has been a while since we've talked, fellas. So, what you been playing?
Matt?
You're going to start with me.
I say you first, since we had some stuff.
I think we met 2 weeks ago, and I was talking about how I was playing Star Wars MMO, and I finally got to the end game, got to the level cap, and... I don't think I'm going to play that game ever again.
No?
That game just soured me on MMOs.
Yeah.
Just kind of boring.
It's Star Wars,
It's not,
man.
What I envisioned an MMO should be.
So now you're just going to go to World of Warcraft and experience... just go back and see that's what it is. You're like, MMOs are always like this.
It's depressing. And then you got that Elder Scrolls MMO coming out, and that's going to be nothing like Elder Scrolls games. It's going to be something completely different, and I don't know.
I just actually played an MMO, so I feel like they would suck me into Oblivion.
You missed the boat.
Yeah.
I mean,
I couldn't go back out there and play. I mean, no way.
I mean, yeah, you can, but I mean, why?
I don't know. I was thinking about maybe Phantasy Star Online or something, you know, something from like 10 years ago.
Oh, I thought you were saying like the new, like PSO2. Oh,
is there one coming out?
Yeah, but you don't have a computer or a Vita, so that'd be kind of tough.
Yeah. Oh, well, there was something. There was an MMO that came out for 360 a while back. I tried the demo of that, but it was really just a bunch of people standing around in a lobby. That was
probably was Phantasy that, Star Universe or something.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
Maybe a, I don't know.
Maybe you're playing Final Fantasy MMO or?
No.
No? Okay. That's the only one I can think
that's
of.
That's 13, right? And that's the one that takes a bazillion hours so for any achievement.
11 and 14 11. That are coming.
But I don't know if 11 was ever on 360.
There was one on 360.
I think it was, yeah.
Crazy. Well,
yeah. Whatever.
You're done with MMOs, Matt.
Yeah. I just really want to play console games right now.
You should. There's some good ones you should be playing.
Yeah. Speaking of those games.
Definitely. Yeah.
Ryan, I think you've played some.
I sat down and played some BioShock Infinite. And wow.
Just like everyone else.
Me
huh?
likey.
Wow. Yeah, you like. Huh?
I did.
You're not going to be one of these people who going to, you know, just disagree with everyone just for the sake of it and trying to just be an ass.
I'm usually the one that likes all video games. You know?
Same here.
So it was real good. It was, you know, very. The story was good at the beginning, and then it had a little something in the middle, and at the end it was really like mind blowing. And I didn't see that coming. Did you foresee anything that way?
I don't want to sound like a jackass when I say that, like, I foresee a good chunk of it, because obviously it went in such a direction. Like, okay, so BioShock Infinite came out, right? And mm-hmm. this is, like, against all my expectations, was really good and came out on time. So I had a great time playing it. But, like, the biggest thing that's being discussed right now is the story and how crazy the ending is and what does it even mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say, like, oh, yeah, well, obviously I foresaw the lighthouse.
You can't foresee all of it, obviously.
Wait, what? Lighthouse? Huh?
There's a lighthouse in it.
Oh.
Every time you die, you go back to the lighthouse.
Oh, okay. Makes perfect sense.
Uh-huh.
But there were certain parts of it that I was like, uh-huh, this...
Yeah.
This suspicion that I had the entire game is... accurate, I guess.
Yeah. So the two people, what are their names?
Booker DeWitt?
No, a guy and a girl. Or a gentleman and a lady.
There's like an ancillary character that kind of acts as kind of like a Q sort of a character, but also like an omnipotent kind of guide. And yes. they are shown, like they show up as the game goes on and they're actually super fun, like quirky, intriguing characters that give you that first hint of like, hey, something's up here. What is it? Lutesses? Lutesses, I think, is how you say that.
Yeah, that's right. Lutece.
The game story overall gave me, when I was playing, I was like, oh, this is really similar to like Lost, the parts of Lost that I really liked. Like seasons 3 and kind of 4 and 6, like the good sort of crazy physics nonsense that's happening in the like that TV show. So if you like that, so if you like that kind of cryptology or sort of like mind bending take on reality, BioShock Infinite will not disappoint, and neither will it disappoint in terms of gameplay.
No, gameplay is amazing. Like, and it's really well paced. If you don't want to go off to the next fight right away, there's tons of stuff to explore and just go around and look at things. I mean, you don't have to. You can mainstream it and just go fight and go room to room to room to room. And, you know, and playing it on normal, it was very forgiving. And yeah.
I was going to ask you about that. Did you, the talk is normal might be too easy? Do you feel that's the case?
There was only one part that like I got through with a little bit of a struggle, and it's because I had set the game down and came back to it 2 days later and I kind of forgot all about my stuff and I wasn't using vigors whatsoever when I came back. So
that does, yeah,
but as long as you're using the things they give you to play the game, it's really easy on normal. Yeah
Like,
But you know the things. What were those big conehead dudes? What was that?
The boys of science or something like that?
Like I thought they would do something more. Like,
yeah,
you know,
with all the promotional time spent on like, this is the weird George Washington robot, and this is the handyman, and this is the boy of science or whatever. And it's like he hears everything but sees nothing. Isn't that? It's like stealth elements, and he didn't really.
But I shot him and just had his guys come after me and killed them, like, easily. Like, every time I would just shoot him right away and the guys would come out. I mean...
Yeah, I didn't...
The Murder of Crows, like I said, when there's that many guys on screen and you upgrade your Murder of Crows to it's a trap every time you kill someone, it's just... That's really simple gameplay.
That... When you bring up the Boys of Science section, that brings me to one thing that I really wanted to ask you about, Ryan, and it's that listening to a different podcast, I forget what it was right now, but one of the people played Bioshock Infinite, and they said, like, I feel like I am going to have a hard time playing any first-person shooter or any video game where I don't have a character that is constantly interacting with me like Elizabeth did.
Yeah.
So, in that section
she wasn't there.
When you're flying solo, like... Did you feel that connection was lost and you're like, man, this character who's always around like suddenly feels super absent and the game feels really cold?
No, I didn't get that feeling because you heard her the entire time, you know. You kept going through the tears and you would hear her screaming or hear something and her voice was still there. And it's not like she'd, like, yeah, she throws some health at you or something. Or some bullets she'll throw at you. But it's not like the game mechanic. Actually, I do remember when that happened, I was a little more scroungy for ammunition. I was a little more scared that I would run out and not be able to get through that part. But it came out all right in the end.
Yeah. I think that was a really brilliant part of the game where you spend so much time with this character. And a lot of times video games don't do a great job of making you actually connect with a character besides it being just like, hey, this person follows you around and occasionally you help them up ladders or they, you know, talk with you in a bit of dialogue in a cutscene and you make a choice and they react to your choice. Like, I felt like with Elizabeth constantly being involved in combat and being your savior in combat, like with health, throwing you health packs or throwing you new ammo, or literally when you died, she brings you back to life in the fiction.
Yeah, did you ever die at that section?
I didn't, what happened? Because I was too scared to die. Like, when I was playing that, I was like, if I die, what will happen?
Yeah.
And I know now what happens is it's just you're back at the door.
Yeah.
So, I felt like that. Creating that connection with that character by having that constant interaction where she's like actually being a part of the combat, not like an AI character running around killing things, but pretty much just being like your support and your crutch. And then when you take that away, it's like, oh God, this game is actually like really hard and it's brutal and it's grueling and I have to be careful and I have to play conservatively and I have to scrounge every corner and look for every little piece of whatever, and then finally, like, it just made getting her back rewarding in more than one way, where it's like, yay, I feel good because the story is whatever, and I feel better now. But then,
and
also,
she would
like,
point out those lockpicks for you. You couldn't find those on your own.
Yeah, yeah. I just felt like that connection with her was the moment when I was like, oh, I get you now, game. Yeah. I feel it.
Yeah. And when she was, you know, being held there, and I really felt like I wanted to get there quickly because she was in agonizing pain.
Yeah.
She didn't
that? No, like, like, that is obviously what that little cue of, like, her in discomfort, sure. But, like, I'm saying, like...
But, yeah.
In terms of a video game, this can only be done in a video game. Like, this connection with another non-existent person, like a character, like when you read a book, you're not like, oh, that character's left and I'm really sad because they stopped saying words, You know, it's like, yeah. In this, you felt the absence of her on multiple levels. Yeah. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, I did. I hadn't really thought about it, but it was a good section. I'm glad it was in there. Then I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, at the beginning of the game, you don't have her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going back through and playing it again on the hard mode. And maybe that's why it's so unforgiving right now, too, because I forgot. Because, you know, she's support, like you said. And I'm wondering how much easier it will get when I finally get her back for the first time. Yeah. But 1999 mode.
It's a doozy, yeah, you say.
Yeah, you want to have some not that much fun and... And really hurt yourself, go for it.
I got a question. I remember watching a gameplay video of this before this game was released, and there was a part where people were going to kill like a citizen or something, and you had the decision of whether or not to save that person. Are there a lot of like moral choice decisions in that game?
Three.
There's like three. Does it like literally really change anything at all, or is it just like
you get gear? Like gear.
I think there's more than three. Like there's three things in that. There's like choose the left or the right. Like pull the trigger. Which trigger do you want to pull? The good trigger or the bad trigger? But there's also other instances of you being quote unquote moral, but you're not getting acknowledged for it.
Like what?
I don't want to say.
I'm trying.
Like
to remember.
there are things you can kill. And you don't need to kill them.
Oh, just like the big daddies?
No, not at all.
Oh, I got you. No, I know it. Yeah, I killed everything.
Okay.
Did you?
No.
No? Uh-uh. Yeah, if it was on the screen, I was shooting it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted the ammo and health they gave, you know?
Gotcha.
So,
savage. Ryan,
so
heartless.
So since you didn't do that, did they reward you for not?
Nope.
No?
No rewards.
No? Nothing?
Nothing. Not even an acknowledgement.
Hey,
that was weird. Like, well, I mean, there was the, hey, that was weird, but not like, boy, those people sure looked like they were suffering or something.
Yeah. Elizabeth is like, wow, I guess I'll just have to get used to this.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
when you do it.
Hunter has been playing it too, and unsurprisingly, he's been choosing the exact same big moral choice options as I have, because, you know,
yeah,
they're the not crazy
classic
ones.
Classic good guy.
Yeah. So on one of them, he was like, oh, which one did you pick? And I said, I picked this. And he's like, okay, I'll pick the opposite. And we watched it, and literally the same dialogue plays out afterwards.
Like, yeah.
It is just a different half a second of animation opposed to this other thing, you know.
Well, the very first one, I didn't. Did you choose to throw the rock at them or to throw the rock at the announcer?
I threw the rock at the announcer.
Well, yeah. And so, did you meet up with them later?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm wondering what happens if you don't throw the rock at the announcer. You think they'll be there, or think like?
I think it's so inconsequential that
they're like, well, that gear sitting around the table right next to him, you know, they're like, here, we wanted to help you out. Thank you for helping us. I'm wondering what would happen the other way.
They're probably not there. I mean,
yeah,
no,
the gear is probably still there, but they're not.
I don't think so. I think they will be gone. The gear will be gone. And it's just like, hey, that was a moral choice.
Yeah. Look what we did in this video game.
Did you? And now you were saying that you. So there's gear in the game, like which is bizarre, it's
weird. Yeah,
it's like perks. That's all.
Essentially,
it is.
Yeah, like kind of like tonics from BioShock, where it's like you get this, and it's like it gives you a 50% chance of creating electricity when you hit somebody with your wrench. Like, but in this situation, it's like. You have a 50% chance of electricity to erupt from your body when you jump off a skyline, and that's on your hat.
A lot of the gear involves skylines. I don't know if you noticed.
Do you use
that.
A skyline? I mean, did you?
I did get for the achievements. At the end of the game, I was just holding the back, and I was on the skyline just shooting everything and jumping to the skylines and then Skyhook executing jumping off because it was a one-hit kill on most enemies. So if you were quick about it, it was like, don't have to use your ammo. And at the very end, you know, that ammo was actually pretty scarce at the end. I don't know if it was for you, but it was for me.
Once I figured out, it took me a lot of tries to get through that ending, which was pretty damn good for video game endings.
Like,
though I was frustrated having to replay it over and over again, I don't really regret it because I felt like with it, with playing on normal difficulty, I was never challenged by the combat. And finally, in that last mission, I kind of just had to open up my tool bag and look in there and be like, okay, this is everything that I am capable of doing. I need to utilize all of it in order to succeed.
Yeah.
So I felt like at that point, the game is kind of, it was pushing me in the direction of like, okay, now if you want to play this again, you should probably play it on hard because now you know what you need to be doing in every encounter. Yeah. And I also felt with how I was playing the game where I was, you know, poking around in every corner, opening every door, looking at every single thing I could find, eating every hot dog out of every garbage can I came across.
A lot of rotten apples.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like if I played on hard and I was exhausting all my resources after every encounter, I would have no problem rebuilding it all up really quickly.
Yeah. I'm wondering how that's going to be on 99 mode. Okay. I wonder how scarce ammo will actually come to be. At the, like the first time I did the very end of it though, I didn't know what was going on really. And like, I just kept telling Songbird to attack the ground.
Hey, watch it.
Just to attack the ground.
I think I know what you're talking about now, so.
Sorry, Matt. Don't do that.
That didn't give away anything, really.
So you use Songbird at the end of the game, huh?
Nah.
No? You just said you directed Songbird to do something.
Yeah. Well, I thought there could have been more with the Songbird.
Songbird is just a code name for a mortar. That's the name of it, yeah. There's a gun that you shoot at shit.
Really? It's not like the flying mechanical bird?
Yes and no. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Maybe it transforms into a mortar.
Okay. It is the whole the arc of that character, that entity in the story was a little flat.
Yeah.
Especially with how this songbird creature was kind of promoted as kind of the big daddy of the fiction. Like, oh, this guy's constant. He's going to be the nemesis. Like, you can't kill him. He's always dogging you. You turn the corner and he's there and you just got to run. You can't kill him. But it was only in like a handful of sections and you're like, oh, well, this is a video game. So
I don't even think it was in a handful of sections, really. I mean,
like three or four, but you know, it did seem a little lacking. I think the payoff in the end was excellent, but the world that game was set in was so chock full of just rich fiction that you want to dig into and learn more about every little thing that it's okay that they didn't focus more on Songbird because every character, every shop, every, you know, room was set up so that it made sense and there was a story to tell with each one of these things, I felt. So that's why I spent so much time looking around. So I'm like, oh, I walked into this store and it's like, this has been ransacked. This owner left a message. Okay, look around the store like, oh, okay, there's a bloody handprint here. The cash register's knocked over. There's cash here, here, and here. There's all this pile of books burning. Like, it's just like, oh, and there's this back room that has like a picture of a girl like stashing. And you're like, oh man, this is like some intense stuff. What's going on here?
I don't remember that back room.
I mean, there's just things in the rooms all had significance, I felt.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't seem like, it's like, oh, here's a closet, and this is where we keep our guns.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like this was a place where they hide important things.
Yeah. Well, more than once, I would go through the entire area, and I wouldn't go to the objective, And more than once, I'm sitting here for a long time trying to figure out how to get this. And I finally give up. And then I'd come back after they're like, well, the main story is like, oh, got a key. Here you go. Just open that door. And just gives it to you. I was kind of frustrated in that aspect. But I understand. It was very rich and detailed.
Does this game have multiple endings, you think?
As far as I know, no.
No? Okay.
I don't think it will. I mean...
No, I don't think so. Did you see the true ending at the end? After credits?
Sure.
Yeah.
I watched it all through the credits. And
yeah.
Is it Andrew Ryan speaking at the end? Is that what it is? Huh?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Andrew Ryan.
Are there a lot of things where it references, like, it foreshadows things that'll happen in BioShock? I really hope it doesn't do that, but does it?
I didn't feel like it did.
Okay.
In the game, it never directly says, hey, this is going to happen in BioShock.
Okay.
But, big but here, there are influences from BioShock that are purposefully present in this game.
Okay.
So I will leave you with that to chew on.
That's all right.
For the next 80 months before you get back to your game.
You want to just come over and play at my place? It's cool.
No, I need the achievements on my game system.
No.
I have to get those.
What's the other thing about that game I was going to mention? Oh, that's right. Did you catch... Okay, so... I don't know. So if you've looked at any of the promotional stuff for the game or you've followed it over the past year, you've seen the scene where Elizabeth opens this tear on this dead horse and it brings the horse back to life and she's petting the horse and then all of a sudden it goes out of control and they're standing in front of a movie theater for Revenge of the Jedi and they almost get hit by a French ambulance.
That doesn't happen.
It's not in the current game. Like, some things have been rejiggered. But, so, the speculation, like, obviously, there's some hinting at some sort of interaction with time through tears and like, how being in one reality versus another. And I don't know if you noticed this, Ryan, because it took me a while until I finished the game and I watched the credits and I was like, freaking knew it. But there's a lot of 80s music in that game.
Mm-hmm.
A ton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard there's a Beach Boys cover.
The Beach Boys cover is the best.
And I heard there's a guitar.
Absolute best.
You can interact with.
Yep. Yeah.
Did you find those tears where there's like literally 80s music playing and they're like, what is that god awful sound coming through that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I found tears, but they weren't saying anything bad about the 80s music. And then if you listen close, the music is around you all the time.
Is it really?
It is. Every song in that game is like R.E.M., but sung as like Ella Fitzgerald. Like, it's like this big Dixieland style song version of... Well, this is one of them. Oh boy, I'm gonna draw a blank here, aren't I?
I didn't realize that. It's just the background music is 80s music.
No,
is that what you're saying?
It's not. No. I mean, it's 80s songs like Tears for Fears or REM, Cyndi Lauper, like all these songs, and they're reimagined as 1920s like. Big Dixieland band singers, not as this like guitar
then
rock.
Through the tears are the actual songs.
Yes, and you learn. I don't want to say anymore, but like the actual song plays with the tear, and then you've actually realized you've been listening to that song in a different lens.
You're telling me there's a tear where I can go to a Cyndi Lauper concert.
Absolutely.
And fight. Okay.
No fighting.
I think I'm sold on this.
You can't fight.
Oh, no.
That's what sold you? Good. You weren't going to play it up until that moment?
No. But if I can go to a Cyndi Lauper concert in the 1980s, oh my God.
Go buy an Xbox tomorrow.
I just, the Beach Boys one is so good. And it's right at the beginning, too. That's the
what part.
That's the a cappella quartet.
Oh, the picture I sent you?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was Beach Boys.
I sat there and I listened to the entire thing. And
I heard it like four times.
I listened to it online over and over again, and I'm like, oh, this is so good. And I was like, but it sounds so familiar, like that chord changes and the harmonizing. I'm like, is this the Beach Boys reference or is it not? Because like it doesn't sound like it, but then, and it's not a Beach Boys song that I've ever heard before, but just the way that the melody exchanges with each other, like I was like, oh, totally, 100% Beach Boys. Yeah,
that's cool. I didn't notice that. Yeah, I saw that and just started laughing hysterically when I saw what they wrote on the billboard.
Ah, yes, yeah. Pretty funny. That game's really good though, Matt. You need to go play it because it is almost. It's not life-changing, but it is changing video game storytelling from this point forward. I think the only thing that would have made it better was if they did dynamic voice acting changes like they did in Spec Ops, where by the end of it, your characters sounded a lot more haggard in their interactions with each other. Like then I would have been sold. I mean, I can even justify like the searching through corpses to dig out money and food. Like I can, in the narrative, I can justify that in my head that they created a world where that makes sense.
Yeah.
But just if by the end of it, Elizabeth just sounded really tired, I would have liked that. I guess that's my one complaint.
She was a pretty chipper near the end. Still ready to go.
Yeah. Booker, want some money?
And then she throws a coin at you, and it's one coin.
It was so such a good sound. That slap of his hand around the coin was just perfect.
One time, she was behind me up like a flight of stairs, like way up there. And she was like, need some money? And it was just funny because you couldn't see her at all. And just all of a sudden, he just catches a coin.
I catch a wall or two every once in a while.
Yeah.
You got really? Stuff going through a wall.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Like, it was throw a bag of health through a pillar. But, I mean, the game does such a great job of making it believable where it's like everything pauses and she'll throw something through a window or actually the thing will, like, curve around a bench or something. Like, she sidearms something so it whips around and boomerangs.
I was
you.
Always scared when she would, I'd be low on health and she'd be like, here's some health. I always thought I'd die, like, in the middle of it. Like, I'm going to get shot, but. Never happened. I think that the game really does pause and you can't get hurt. I think you're invulnerable.
You cannot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found that when you're fighting dudes that explode, the best time to accept anything from her is when they're running at you about to explode.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
You know, did you get the achievement for shooting a handyman in the heart only?
Nope.
That is ridiculously hard.
I was going to say, the only time I think I'd replay this game is if I just go through it again and do some achievement hunting on just easy.
I did all the gun ones. Every single gun achievement, I've got that.
There's almost a point in that game where it's like, I got the feeling where it's like, hey, if you got stuff to do it, like, do. Here's the time to do it.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. It was a fun section too. But, I mean, that was one of those things where I was like, where it just hammered home to me that was like, hey, this mode is too easy. Like, normal is too easy from the way that you're playing it.
Near the end of it, on normal, like, your scrounging around didn't become as, you know, important as it had been earlier. Like, the rewards for scrounging just wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Like, the only thing that really got me excited was the infusions.
Exactly. Right.
Did you, how many of those did you get? Did you get them? Can you get everything maxed out? Do you know?
I don't know.
I got my salt all the way maxed up. I got a shield up to 9 and health up to 6. So I think there's like 5 more that maybe if you can do maximum.
See, I put 1 point into health and then I said, this is dumb. And I put them all into Salt and Shield.
Yeah, I did Salt and Shield mostly.
So I was like, eh. Then I feel like I made a mistake and I should maybe spread them out a bit more. But
yeah,
I think all in on Salt was a good choice.
Yeah, if you don't use your Vigors in that game, it'll get ridiculously difficult.
Yeah, and I also think that, like you saying, with the Murder of Crows, that you feel like you figured out the best way to play that game. Like, I feel like the way that I built out my character makes the most sense as well. So I feel like that you could viably play, because you can only have two equipped at a time, just like your weapons. I feel like you could viably play with almost any two equipped, and it would be a totally perfect experience where you're like, why would you not do this?
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So, I didn't do the very last figure like at all. The one where it's like a shield and you throw it back.
That's the one that I used all the time after. Serious? I got it. 100%.
Really?
All in. Number one.
What exactly? You just hold it up and you get some bullets fired at you and you shoot them back at him?
No. Like, it is just another shield. You tap it and it turns on and you don't take any damage from anything for as long
as
you
can. Can you fire your gun?
You can do whatever you want except for ADS.
Does it take your salts down, like, slowly?
Very slowly.
Really?
Yeah. And then you can upgrade it to block anything, and then if you hold it, you absorb anything, and you can throw it back, and it does more damage than any other attack in the game.
Huh. That seems like it would make it really easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's already enough shielding.
Yeah. I liked the Bucking Bronco a lot in the early game, and then I didn't really use it that much once I got the shield, of course.
Yeah.
Because I stuck with shield and electricity.
Did you get the achievement for throwing them off of the city?
I think so.
Like, I didn't know how to get that. Like, should I use Bucking Bronco Undertow?
They won't do it. Maybe Undertow.
Like, how did you do it?
Skyline hits.
Every time I skyline hit, they fall off, or they die.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Well, so, that game's really good, man. You should go play it, man.
I want to play it not because it's good. I want to play it because I have like a bunch of theories in my head about what I'm going to see in that game. And
that's a good place to be, because I will tell you this. No matter what you think is going to happen at the end of that game, it will do a lot more than what you were expecting.
Yeah.
Guarantee you will be at least impressed with where they go with it. Maybe not surprised if you are like some sort of freaking video game savant or something like that. I don't know, like been studying Ken Levine and watching The One a lot or something. I don't know, but you know,
One?
Yeah, what? Don't worry
about
it.
Multiple universes? there's another Booker DeWitt somewhere? Or?
Uh-uh.
No? Okay.
No.
I think what I'm going to do is
one Booker DeWitt.
You were the son of Andrew Ryan. Okay, I get it. You and Elizabeth get together and Andrew Ryan's your kid and he starts Rapture and blah, blah, blah. Okay.
It's entirely possible, but no.
Great.
I didn't understand that part at the end. I don't want to give anything away, but I didn't understand.
I'll talk to you about it sometime that doesn't have, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin it for Matt because I think part of it is just letting all that unfold in front of you and just sitting there watching and you're like, oh, like after I beat it, I couldn't go to sleep for about an hour and a half, just laying in bed thinking like I should go to bed because there's no point in thinking about this more because it's a video game. But then the other half of me was like, but dude, like what about this character? What about this line? What about this? Like, how do the Lutesses actually fit into what was happening? Like, just really crazy.
Well, you got any other games that we...
Just a few. I played the Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for the 3DS. I played the demo. What's this? Who's making that noise?
I'm making that noise.
Why are you making that noise?
I don't want to play Monster Hunter.
Wait, you don't have to.
Yeah, but I'll still want.
What?
Play Pokemon. Just play that.
Matt, will you... when Monster Hunter 4 comes out and it's amazing, you want to play Monster Hunter 4 with me?
No, I got too many other games to play.
No, you don't. You'll be caught up by then. It won't come out into in America until like 2015. We'll be dead by then.
Probably.
2015, 2 years away.
I'll be dead. So, yeah? You're going to buy a 3DS used because the 4DS will already have, you know, launched.
That game's not going to be good.
That's Monster Hunter 4?
It's going to have a niche in Japan somewhere. That's
it's not a niche. It's just...
Well, I know it's really popular in Japan, but... But it'll... I think the popularity will die down.
After you guys left last week, I played The Cave, which was free for PSN users or PlayStation Plus users. I played it for literally 5 minutes at the character select screen, and I thought it was broken because I couldn't figure out what to do. And then I did, and then I said, I don't want to play this game anymore.
Great.
Pretty good story, right?
Endorsement.
Yeah. I played a few minutes of Hotline Miami because I got it on the Steam sale. I think with the Mac port, there were some adjustments made, and it's not the Hotline Miami I remember seeing trailers for. But I haven't played it enough. And then I played a ton of FTL.
Yes, you did.
A ton of FTL.
What does that stand for?
15 hours. Faster than light.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about last year's game, but...
So it's a space game.
If you have a computer, you should buy FTL.
Yeah?
Because it's amazing. It was a Kickstarter project, came out last year. Awesome soundtrack. It's like a space commander simulation. Not like Eve or anything. Like, the combat's not like actively shooting stuff, but it still is to some extent. You're managing your crew. You're managing your system's power. Basically, you're like the guy sitting in the armchair of the spaceship saying, like, you know, divert shields to the aft from that to... I'm a terrible captain. I don't even know.
I don't know. I was getting pumped up there, Captain. I was ready.
I need more power.
Yeah.
I need more power.
Sir, then the thrusters will not give us enough momentum.
Damn it, Ryan. I need more power.
We can hold out for 3 more minutes.
Give me warp 4.
Beat FTL? Or is it too hard just to beat it?
I've been playing it on easy. I got to the end, and I got to the last level when it was like, hey, get ready to attack the enemy mothership. And then I was like, I'll wait for it to come to me. And then it didn't go to me. It went to my base, and then it said game over. And I was like, fuck! I just got the best run of my life on this, and I was so ready to fight it. And I looked it up, and I will never beat that thing. Ever.
Great.
But it's so much fun.
Is it hard? It's just too hard?
I heard it's very hard, yes, at the end.
It's a lot of dice rolls.
Great.
Not like visual, but, you know.
Yeah. You're not on the screen like rolling dice.
It's pretty much Yahtzee.
Faster than light Yahtzee sounds
pretty
fun.
FTL.
Cool.
Yeah.
How much time you got, Ryan?
Let's see what we got here. What is,
about 40 minutes?
Half hour, maybe.
Okay. Play Gears of War Judgment. Meh. You already covered that. Maybe not. No, you didn't. It's
I didn't on podcast. Yeah. It's Gears of War with some new mechanics in multiplayer. But they hit up the maps generously and gave us all 4 maps to start out with. So that was very nice of them.
Everybody, 4 whole maps.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on to news because it's been 2 weeks and PAX East and GDC just went down. Mm-hmm. So like always, there's a ton to talk about. So I'm going to blaze through this, and you guys chime in whenever you want. Final Fantasy X HD and Final Fantasy X 2 HD for the PlayStation 3 and the Vita are officially announced by Square Enix.
I'll probably play both of those.
Yeah?
Both of them?
Yeah, I never played X 2, actually.
Yeah?
I only played 10.
Isn't X 3 coming out? Or did it?
13-3. You're thinking about 13-3.
Okay. Yes.
The drama behind that is what it sounds like currently is On the PS3, you will get both bundled together for one price. On the Vita, they are separate games you have to purchase individually. Why? Mm. Perhaps it is the space limitation of the disc for the Vita, or maybe it's because Square Enix is a bunch of assholes.
Maybe a little combo.
Yeah. Blizzard, your friends and mine, announced a virtual card game called Hearthstone. Heroes of Warcraft.
Great. So, yeah, a card game. Go play Magic the Gathering Planeswalkers or something. I don't know. Go play Yu-Gi-Oh.
5 Ds. Duodecia.
There's not enough Ds if you ask me. I always need more Ds.
I would like to play it if it is free.
No, not even if it's free.
Do you have to go out and buy card packs, or is it just going to be strictly a video game?
It's in beta right now. You can sign up for the beta. If it is for phones, if it's for iOS, I will play it.
You're going to have to buy the cards and put them on your Skylanders.
Dude, if only. Don't tempt me. Don't you tempt me.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy those World of Warcraft card figures.
And just more Skylander things.
Yeah. Speaking of more Skylander things, Pokemon has entered the Skylander space, Japan only, with some new weird Pokemon game where you have to go to Pokemon centers in Japan and you can buy the little figures and put them on your little device. And yeah, so watch out, world.
Yeah.
Here comes, watch out, Japan. Nintendo. Well, hopefully they bring it worldwide and go full scale with it, because I'll buy it.
Would you buy
hell
some
yeah.
Pokemon I mean, Pokemon
basically,
pads?
Skylanders is just a just like a waiting room. Like, I will play the hell out of the Pokemon game that should be once that actually happens. Like, you collect your little figures, you put them on your thing, and now you have your Psyduck or whatever. That's what I want. Give me more opportunities to spend more money on Pokemon.
Ah, I always need more of that.
You guys probably don't care about this, but Penny Arcade, the Penny Arcade game, number 4, is coming out this spring for $5 on Xbox Live Indie Arcade.
Is this the last episode?
I don't know. I thought there's only supposed to be 3, but in the poem thing that they sing in it, there's 4 gods, so perhaps this is the end. I don't know the full name. I'm sorry. Anybody watch the Battlefield 4 thing that happened on March 27th? The
17 minutes of gameplay.
I did not.
I did.
How was it, Matt?
It looked nice. Was there
a battle going on?
Yeah, there were people shooting guns. There were explosions.
Was
there
it in a field?
No. It was like in a car.
Oh, fuck you. It wasn't in a field.
Fuck yeah. It's like in the city, man. Come on.
It's bad marketing, if you ask me.
It was all single-player campaign stuff, which, obviously, that's what you kind of show. Like, you know, Battlefield's more of a multiplayer game. It's not known. But, you know, showing multiplayer just isn't as great of a cinematic feel or anything like that. But, I don't know. It looked impressive, but who knows how that campaign will play, because that's the only reason I'll play it. I don't like playing first-person shooters online.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever. It looked impressive, I guess. You know, but
17 minutes, huh?
That's yeah.
It's like playing a whole level. They put the whole thing out there, huh? It's like a demo that you can't play. Is that what they're going for?
This is a gameplay demo. Yeah, sure, why not?
I mean, you remember the Battlefield 3 demo? It was pretty epic.
Yeah.
Dude crawling around, shooting rocket launchers at shit on rooftops.
Yeah.
And the building falls, and
yeah,
and it plays that blasting music.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It gets all distorted and blows your speakers out.
Mm-hmm.
At PAX Prime, before PAX, or excuse me, at PAX East, people saw Transistor. Hey, did you like that game, Bastion? Supergiant Games
sure
game
did.
Bastion. Well, their new game is called Transistor, and from all accounts, it's freaking awesome. Great art style, similar to Bastion. It is going to have fantastic music once again. Totally unique sort of a gameplay that people can't, you know, haven't heard it described well. But from the trailer that I watched, it seems intriguing. Combination of real-time action and turn-based point allocation action.
I think that was one of the games that was number one in the world for a while.
Number one.
What?
You guys like superheroes? DC Infinite Crisis is a MOBA. Nobody cares.
No. MOBA. I don't like MOBA games.
I don't either.
Fuck those games.
Really? That should be your next thing you jump into, Matt. You've done the MMO.
No. I've watched people play MOBA, and it just seems boring. And you need to have like four or five friends. You need a team to work well.
Is MOBA the, like, there's two lines going at each other, basically?
More or less, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Or like three or more, but yeah.
Well, the basics.
There's towers shooting, and you have to kill the towers, then kill their base. Yes.
Yeah. You're just like,
those games suck. You should not play them.
Speaking of games you should play, Double Fine Adventure has been officially titled as Broken Age.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't really that's care. My game, Matt.
That's your game. Yes.
That's my game.
That's the next thing you'll be jumping into.
No, that's my game. I built it.
Oh, you? Oh.
I'm a part of that game.
Oh, so you gave it money to Kickstarter? Okay.
Yeah, I Kickstarted it. So,
so you're gonna see the profits of this game?
The profits that I'll be seeing is the joy in your eye when you come and tell me how great that game is.
All right. So nothing really.
There's going to be Borderlands DLC, Borderlands 2 DLC.
Yes.
Two packs.
Thankfully.
One of which is going to be a new character who is a melee-oriented psycho dude named Krieg.
Krieg?
Krieg? Krieg?
Oh, like Krieg.
Like Blitzkrieg, yeah. Minus the Blitz.
Maybe Craig?
Craig.
And then they're putting the level cap at 61.
Yep.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Get me to play it again.
I think I probably need to get my guy to 50 first. I forgot that I had that game.
I don't even have 50.
See, I will not be playing this at all.
No?
I will.
Nope.
Yeah. I'll probably go back and make a new character. I don't know. I think I'm like a level 40 or something.
Matt, you could be playing MOBAs right now, and you're wasting your time with DLC that's not even out yet.
Should I just play MOBAs and suck and then ruin people's games? Yeah. Is that what I should do?
Okay. Yeah, go be a MOBA griefer.
MOBA griefer?
Yeah. Get on Dota.
I'll just keep. I don't know. Can you talk to people on? You must be. Able
I think
to have
you
voice
have
chat.
To, right?
No, you don't have to. But if I should get a microphone and then just like yell at people, like, what am I supposed to do? What does this do? What are you guys doing? Just like yelling and yeah.
I like it.
That's the way to play that game.
Yep. Capcom is doing that DuckTales game that everybody loved from the 90s on the Nintendo.
I didn't play it, so I don't care.
Yeah, it's getting remastered in an HD version for current consoles.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know what they are. But damn, looks good. They're pulling all the old voice actors from the DuckTales TV show. I couldn't stop singing the DuckTales theme song for an entire week after I watched that trailer because it's by WayForward, the guys that did the Double Dragon Neon game.
Nice.
So you know that music will be freaking awesome.
You think all the DuckTales guys are going to sound old now?
Yeah.
They're going to be a little more haggard?
Scrooge McDuck is just going to be tired. last things we have to talk about are the two big megatons of this last week. One of which is the Square Enix bullshit that's going down. The CEO, Yuichi Wada, has stepped down from his position after a like $100 million quarterly loss by the company. They were projected to be up $10 million or something like that, and they ended up being down like 110% or something like that.
Wow.
That's not that bad. I mean,
that loss has been blamed on failure by the Western market or a lower than expected sales in the Western market by Western games, such as Tomb Raider and Hitman and Sleeping Dogs.
Hmm.
which I believe they all sold pretty well.
Tomb Raider sold 3.4 million at the end of March.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's really good. Sleeping Dogs sold, I think, about 2 million, and
wow,
Hitman
really?
Sold a little over a million.
Sleeping Dogs sold more than Hitman.
Yeah.
That surprises me.
Yep. And that is not including any digital sales.
Yeah.
Only physical copies. So Square Enix, they are hell of under their expected earnings. So much so that they're in the red. And they blame their Western affiliates for not selling enough of their games. Instead of saying, hey, what have we been bleeding chips on? Fucking Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. This is just going to be me venting.
No, I was just... I'm wondering how... I'm assuming that's a worldwide sales, and I would like to know how many of those games sold in Japan versus the West.
Yeah.
Probably not as well, but, I mean... I don't know. Most of your money's going to come in the West. I don't know. Just those kinds of games don't sell very well, it seems like, with Japan. And Japan has a decreasing population, and it's...
You think they're going to have a huge fire sale, like THQ?
No. I don't think so.
Anytime, no.
I mean, if they do, then great. Great. Sell off Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah.
Let them they let them go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know? Let them get picked up by somebody else. Like, it seems like Square Enix was doing a great service by picking up all these little developers and putting these games out. And now when they're like, oh, well, the reason why we're not performing better is because these little guys that we were helping out and actually turned out as great projects didn't do what we expected. It's like, no, that's bullshit. You know, it's like you ported Final Fantasy Theatrhythm to the iPhone, and how much did that cost? Like $38 probably for you to do that process. And that's going to make money because people are stupid.
Yeah, I don't think it cost them a lot to get the Sleeping Dogs IP because somebody else already built it all.
Yeah, exactly.
So they just had to
buy it off. I mean, what was the other Square Enix? All the Bravest, the iPhone game.
Yeah, I don't know about this.
Completely flopped in the West. Moderately successful in the East. It's like an iPhone game where you are doing stupid shit and it's dumb. And that's why it didn't sell well in the West. You know, they re-released a million different versions of Final Fantasy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. For iOS devices, and they seem like they're really trying to tackle this digital marketplace, which was part of Yuichi Wada's sort of mantra, but they're just not making money like they should be, and then they're going to blame that on their actually successful teams. You know, it just seems unfortunate.
Yeah, and then you get a bunch of people, game developers in the West, saying like, well, Japan kind of doesn't know how to make games really that well anymore, and they don't know how to use the internet.
Yeah,
which is always a little bit concerning.
Right. I mean,
the age we live in.
Now, the thing that I'm worried about is where this is going to go, because Wada, part of his mission statement in becoming the CEO post Sakaguchi, want to say that's right, right? Anyway, he did it all after the Sakaguchi failure with the Spirits Within film in the 2000s. So one might say every video game that has come out from Square under Wada's guidance, shepherding, has been garbage compared to what they've put out before. I mean,
maybe.
You might say that.
Okay.
But in every... On the other side of it, he's allowed a lot of opportunity for growth within the Square Enix team. He's also said, he's on record quoted saying, I would love to see the Final Fantasy team do something different that isn't Final Fantasy, but the fans keep demanding more Final Fantasy in the way that they've always had it, so we can't do anything different. And it's kind of a bullshit thing to say, but you know, I think the guy was willing to embrace the new changes, and he played a lot of Western games by all accounts, and he was pushing for an internet-friendly sort of DLC program and stuff. So I think he was progressive, but I don't obviously something was wrong there. Something is amiss with that company.
Maybe somebody who did the numbers wrong. Oh, decimals off just a few spots, guys. Sorry, everything's okay.
It's a counting error. Yeah. I wonder who came up with that estimate of, oh, you're going to make $10 million this year. I'm like, oh, okay. I really want to know who came up with that estimate or who decided that. That's a big miss.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
From, I mean,
earning 10 mil to losing 110 mil. It's a little lopsided.
Just a tad. Just a bit. But,
okay, well, maybe those numbers aren't 100% accurate. Maybe it's like 1 million to 10 million or something. I don't know. Maybe it's yen. I don't remember.
They're not doing well, is the gist.
Yeah. The ratio is still the same.
Yeah.
Just what are the numbers? I don't remember.
Okay.
So what was the other big thing you had to talk about?
Yeah.
Yo, guys, you like that freaking Metal Gear Solid?
Eh. Yeah.
I don't know.
Should I say yes for the sake of this podcast? Yes.
What about it? Let me tell you. So do you remember during the Spike VGAs this last year when that mysterious trailer for The Phantom Pains was shown and everybody was like, oh my God, that's Final Fantasy, or that's Final Fantasy, that's Metal Gear Solid 5.
Mm-hmm.
And Kojima admitted that it was. Well, yeah. He said, yes, this is. They had a new trailer for GDC. It's freaking amazingly good looking trailer on Fox Engine, their new engine, obviously.
What's it going to come out for?
Current generation systems.
Xbox 2?
Current generation systems.
Yeah? Wii?
Current generation systems. So if you want to get weird about it, like, you could say Kojima is being cagey as fuck and saying, like, what's a current generation system? Well, the Wii U is a current gen system. And the PS4 has been announced, so that could mean that that's the current gen. Like, if the Wii U is the current gen, and that's supposed to be on parity with PS4, then is that current gen?
I think it's going to be on PS4. I don't think it's going to be on PS3.
But he said current generation systems.
That game looks too good to be on that system.
Yeah, it does. Dude's a liar.
Isn't it two games, though? Takes place after or before he goes to the hospital, and then, like, after.
You're talking about Ground Zeroes?
Yes, Ground Zeroes. That's
in a handful of interviews that have been recorded with really no good explanation, he has said they are two different games, but the same story set 9 years apart. One is a prologue, but it's also the ending, and it's kind of like one story. And then Jeff Keighley asked him point blank, hey, will this be two different games? And he said, we don't know yet. We're not willing to say.
Okay. Hey, you want to talk about sexism in video games, huh?
Not really.
No?
What do you want to talk about?
No, I don't want to talk about
it.
Okay. It's just, it was a big problem at GDC.
It's been a problem forever, but
it flared up on
whatever that.
Really?
What was that movement on Twitter? The
number one reason to be?
Yeah.
Or number one reason why? There was a couple. But
I don't know. I'm not a woman, and I'm not in video games, so I feel silly talking about it. But you know what's not silly?
What's not silly?
Snake has a fucking horn in his head. He has a horn?
He has
a horn.
Head. I don't
he's
remember
missing
that.
An arm.
I know he's
missing
an
arm. He
has a robot
arm.
He has a horn? What?
He has a horn sticking out of his head.
Does he blow on it? Like, is it like a...
Like a cow horn. Like a head horn.
Oh.
Yeah, like the horn of Gondor, but attached to his head.
That's kind of...
I don't know. Like, if you haven't been keeping your ear to the ground on this Metal Gear Solid V... It's called V, not 5. But it's still 5. But now it's V because, you know, they're trying to move away from the numbers. But Kojima keeps calling it 5. But it's V. And it's V because V is important. Because V has multiple meanings.
Very special.
So I would encourage you to go down this crazy rabbit hole of what the hell is happening with Metal Gear Solid 5, because it is fascinating.
Is that guy just insane? Just going crazy, like
in the best way possible, like doing things that nobody does ever because they're too worried about things, and yeah.
So you're gonna lecture on nuclear disarmament again, or something like that?
I hope. Oh, God. In the yes. Keeley in the most recent Keeley interview, Jeff Keeley says, "Okay, so in the beginning of the trailer, we see Snake flatlines. He gets brought back through the use of the electrocution paddle things, and then Kaz sits up next to him. Or sorry, not Kaz, Master Miller, whatever. Same diff." Sits up and is like, "What about that guy?" And it's this other body who's laying next to these two guys who are getting like revived in the hospital. And they're like, "Oh, he didn't make it." So Jeff Keighley says to Kojima, he says, "Who is this other third character that's been like part of this scene?" And Kojima's like, this is the amount of brilliance / craziness that I love about Kojima. He says, "Well, that's me." He says, "That's me laying next to my creations, looking at them, saying, are they still alive? I'm evaluating them, saying, are they still viable in this market? Like, can I bring them back to life? Can I make them important? Are they still living?" I was like, oh my God, I love Kojima so much for saying something like that. It's so crazy, but it's something that nobody else does.
I forgot. I completely have a blank. This is supposed to take place after 3, but before Metal Gear Solid 1, right? You're a boss, correct? You're not Solid Snake.
You're playing as Big Boss.
Big Boss, that's right.
It happens almost directly after Peace Walker.
Okay.
And then 9 years after that. So roughly in the early to mid-80s is when this game's going to take place. But then the prologue might be taking place like in the mid-70s. Which is right around the time Peace Walker took place.
Okay.
It's David Hayter's. I don't know if you want to go further into this, but the voice actor for Snake has come out and said, "I haven't been approached to play the voice." And they said, they've actually said to me, "We have somebody else." And we want to change things up. Now, I've done some research. I've done some digging here.
Yeah. Have you?
He says he was up in Toronto filming his movie that he's a part of when he was contacted by a Kojima Productions PR person. And they talked to him and they said, "We found somebody else. You don't need to be a part of this." I looked into David Hayter's project in Toronto, and it is called Wolves, a movie called Wolves.
Okay.
And I can't find, if you search the internet for David Hayter Wolves movie, like, you only get linked to his Twitter account. And the only thing on there are two pictures, one of which is like a dude who looks vaguely like he could be a relative of The Rock or some screen off The Scorpion King or something, which David Hayter was a part of in The Scorpion King 2 or 3 or whatever.
Jeez.
And a picture of Jennifer Hale and him saying, like, "Working with Jennifer Hale at the studio today, doing some voiceover dubbing." And you're like, what? The other voice of Metal Gear Solid, Jennifer Hale.
What did she play?
She was Naomi Hunter.
Okay, that's right.
So, cahoots, man. I say that's a bunch of nonsense that he wasn't asked to play Snake. I think he's in it, and he's playing his own freaking mind game. And he's going to be back as Snake.
Huh.
Nobody cares about Metal Gear Solid.
Not yet.
I hate you.
Fire Horse and Fire Whale. It's
Dude,
just, no. I
a Fire Whale.
That. I kind of want his game to be set like an actual reality. You can have like a weird character who can read minds, sure, but I don't want Fire Whale, Fire Horse. I don't want that. I don't want that. I just
Splinter Cell.
No, I'm not gonna play Splinter. Well, I will play Splinter Cell.
Play Siphon Filter.
That was a good game. Those were good games. But now that's a true, stealth game was the Siphon Filter games.
Mm-hmm. You guys are crazy. Well,
whatever. Game's not coming out for months, so
years, eons.
Actually, it'll be past 2015. We'll all be dead.
We'll be dead. Monster Hunter 4 will be out. We'll be dead. Nobody cares. All right, guys. We'll wrap this up. Since nobody cares about Metal Gear Solid 5, you guys are the worst.
Well, I've never played a Metal Gear game.
You know what?
You know, if they were on,
go back and replay all of them.
If they were on Xbox downloadables, I would.
I think. Well, I can't remember.
You can get them. The power is yours.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just do videos of them? Do a video of all Metal Gear games.
I would love to, but.
How long do you think it would take to start playing Metal Gear, the first one, Metal Gear Solid 2, 4? Like,
you gotta play 3.
No skip any cutscenes, 1 through 4. Probably.
Sound like 100 hours?
5 days of straight playing.
Really? Yeah, so a little over 100 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe
hours
more?
Of gameplay?
Minus or plus cutscenes.
It would not take 100 hours.
You don't think it would take 100 hours?
For 4 games?
For all four Metal Gear games?
Absolutely not.
Skipping no codec conversations, cutscenes?
No, it would not.
Like, Metal Gear Solid 4 alone is like 14 hours of pure ass, just unskippable, skippable cutscene and dialogue.
I don't remember playing that game more than 20 hours. I don't.
Well, there's 14 hours of cutscene and 6 hours of actual gameplay.
I don't think there's 14 hours of cutscene. I think that's a bit overestimated.
Maybe it's over.
Someday I will go down that rabbit hole. Someday.
We did a video of Metal Gear Solid, the first one.
Did you?
It's really good. That game is very good.
Yeah.
You should play them all.
You should.
But we're going to close it off here, and we'll see in 2 weeks after maybe we hear about this Microsoft console that probably doesn't exist. Well, maybe it does. Who
it
does?
Exists.
We don't know, man. It's not going to happen.
It's Windows 9.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
The Windows 8 debacle continues. Anyway, this has been Boss Bro Radio. My name is Griffin Hoffman. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Matt.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you, listener.
Would you kindly eat that candy?
You've already unwrapped it. You got to go for it.
I'm going to guess you see a small model of Rapture in Infinite. Just saying. That's another theory.
That's one of your theories.
That's one of my theories. You see a model of Rapture.
Give me your theory. What's your ultimate theory? Eat that taffy while you're talking about your theory.
You go through a tear and you end up in the 1950s at the lighthouse before you go to Rapture.
Okay.
You do time traveling in this game.
And then what? Like you're just
and then it cuts
there?
To black.
Oh, and then you're like,
oh my god, it's Rapture. And then it's.
Is like you're at Rapture and like you are that guy.
You are Andrew Ryan.
Oh, you are Andrew Ryan.
Maybe you're that. Maybe you're the guy who starts Rapture.
Oh, well, there is something engraved on the back of your character's hand.
Don't F that game. Fuck that game.
Well, go get a console.
We'll talk about this in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I play it.
See you guys in January next year when we talk about how this was the best game of the year.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Well, have a good one.